brought to you by Penguin.
The Road to Little Dribbling, More Notes from a Small Island, by Bill Bryson, read by Nathan Osgood. The Bryson Line, written and performed by Richard Digence.
The Bryson Line cuts a small island in half, starting at Bognor and up to Cape Wrath. Destinations both east and then west, pronunciation so hard to digest. Beastly, Eastly and Grimsby Grim, where hairdressers curl up and I give a trim. Crossing the Thames, the Trent and the Tyne, we travel the Bryson Line. Over to Dover, where it all began. Mousel is muzzled, digest if you can. A nation's peculiarities found. Places are seldom spelt as they sound. Norfolk Broads are narrow and long, so cute and yet grammatically wrong. Eye and tongue seldom combine when you travel the Bryson Line. Great Britain is great, so let's not be pedantic. North Seas in the East, Irish Seas, the Atlantic. Faces and places entwine as we travel the Bryson Line.
Prologue. One of the things that happens when you get older is that you discover lots of new ways to hurt yourself. Recently, in France, I was hit square on the head by an automatic parking barrier, something I don't think I could have managed in my younger, more alert years. There are really only two ways to get hit on the head by a parking barrier. One is to stand underneath the raised barrier and purposely allow it to fall on you. That is the easy way, obviously. The other method, and this is where a little diminished mental capacity can go a long way, is to forget the barrier you have just seen rise, step into the space it has vacated, and stand with lips pursed while considering your next move, and then be taken completely by surprise as it slams down on your head like a sledgehammer on a spike. That is the method I went for. Now let me say right now that this was a serious barrier, like a scaffolding pole with momentum. And it didn't so much fall as crash back into its cradle. The venue for this adventure in cranial trauma was an open-air car park in a pleasant coastal resort in Normandy called Etretat, not far from Deauville, where my wife and I had gone for a few days. I was alone at this point, however, trying to find my way to a cliff-top path at the far side of the car park, but the way was blocked by the barrier, which was too low for a man of my dimensions to duck under, and much too high to vault. As I stood, hesitating, a car pulled up. The driver took a ticket, the barrier rose, and the driver drove on through. This was the moment that I chose to step forward and to stand considering my next move, little realizing that it would be mostly downwards. Well, I have never been hit so startlingly and hard. Suddenly, I was both the most bewildered and relaxed person in France. My legs buckled and folded beneath me, and my arms grew so independently lively that I managed to smack myself in the face with my elbows. For the next several minutes, my walking was, for the most part, involuntarily sideways. A kindly lady helped me to a bench and gave me a square of chocolate, which I found I was still clutching the next morning. As I sat there, another car passed through, and the barrier fell back into place with a reverberating clang. It seemed impossible that I could have survived such a violent blow, but then, because I am a little paranoid and given to private histrionics, I became convinced that I had in fact sustained grave internal injuries, which had not yet revealed themselves. Blood was pooling inside my head like a slowly filling bath, and at some point soon my eyes would roll upwards. I would issue a dull groan and quietly tip over, never to rise again. The positive side of thinking you're about to die is that it does make you
sample complete. Ready to continue?